Now I want to talk to you about our kids this morning for a little while. And the Bible says here in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." God's gave you a child this morning. He has given you a reward. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man." We might say, poor is the man. But he's happy, thank God. Happy and poor is the man that hath his quiver full of them. But thank God for it. I'd rather be happy and poor than rich and unhappy, wouldn't you? "They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I'd like to preach to you a few minutes this morning on our job as parents, our responsibility to our children. To quote the modern popular term, it's an awesome thought to think about these little sweet little babies that we saw up here a while ago. And to think that those little hands that's got a rattler or a pacifier or a bottle, maybe put it up in your hand, it's got ice cream on it or dirt, that maybe someday that little hand would stand up and hold a Bible like I'm holding this morning, or maybe hold a Colt revolver in a street riot, put it into somebody's head. We were shocked this week. All of us were shocked as we saw our nation literally just ripped open. And dreams that people had been trying to build for years just shattered this week. And I don't believe any of us realized, and maybe now we do realize a little bit, that our country is just sitting on a powder keg and is that close to just having an outright revolution this morning. I tell you, we're living in dangerous times. We're living in dangerous times. When people are just innocent bystanders standing on the side of the road, and somebody comes by and just blows them away and dare the police to do anything about it. Makes you kind of wonder what kind of future some of these little ones is up here a while ago. Can you imagine what the world will be like if Jesus didn't come in 20 years when these kids get up? Can you imagine? You imagine. It's scary now. It's a scary world this morning to even think about growing up in. Those hands may play a church piano in the house of God one day, or spin a gambling wheel in Las Vegas and deal cards. Those little hands that you saw up here this morning may dress a wound on the mission field while they're telling some soul about the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. Or they may tremble in an Alcoholics Anonymous place somewhere begging for another drink or a needle or an alcoholic mind. Right now, their hands are in ours. They're asking for our guidance. Raising children does not begin at church, it begins at home. Raising children does not begin at school, it begins at home. A parent don't just say, "Turn our kids over to the school, now you raise them while I go do my own thing." A parent does not just say, "Here, church, you raise him. It's your job to make sure my kid turns out all right. I've got the other busier, important things to do." Parenting is a job that all parents must learn, must begin at their home. Brother, we're living in a time when the devil is doing everything in his power to stop our children from turning out right. He'd destroy every single one of them if he had his way about it. I believe we have at least five responsibilities to our children as parents this morning. I, of course, am a parent of three girls. Many of you are parents here this morning. You saw these little kids up here a while ago. We have responsibility. When that doctor placed that little bundle of joy in your arms and said, here it is, and you held and looked at that life that came from your very body and that God blessed you with, your whole life took on a new responsibility that you had never, ever had before. Now, the first responsibility that we have in teaching our children this morning is, as I said, teaching them. We have a responsibility, our kids this morning, to teach them. You say, oh, it's Sunday school teacher's job. No, it's your job. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, I'll just read it to you, and thou shalt teach them, talking about the commandments of the Lord, diligently unto thy children. The Lord told those Old Testament Jews, He said, it's your job as a parent to teach my commandments to your children. It is your job as a parent to make sure your kid is taught the Bible. You understand that? Your job. You say, well, I thought that's why we brought them to church. You bring them to church on Sunday to get reinforced what you're supposed to have already been teaching them throughout the week in your home. If the only time your child ever hears the Bible's at church, don't expect him to pay much attention to it when he grows up. That's only 1 or 2 hours a week, and he's got all those other hours of the week being shown the opposite. We have a job and a responsibility to teach our children. You know what the rest of that verse said? It said, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and your children will know them. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, you as a parent, when you lie down, you're talking about the Bible. When you raise up, you're talking about the Bible. When you're going by the way, you say, we're just going to take a ride and take a picnic this evening. Put the kids in your car. You know that scripture Brother Danny read this morning. What do you kids think that it means? Can anybody quote me a verse of scripture that says this and that? That's our jobs as parents. How many parents in here this morning? This is a Bible-believing church. How many kids in here this morning do you think go home on a regular Sunday morning and never hear Mom and Daddy mention the Bible one time at the dinner table or during the afternoon? It just fuss all the way home. I didn't get this. Go to the store. Let's get a couple of drinks. Take home. Get home. Turn on the football game. Send the kids out of the house and never mention God till it's time to come back the next Sunday morning. I'm telling you, you've got a responsibility before God to teach your children. Do you know that? And so do I. Yesterday, we took the singles trip over to Gatlinburg. I said, well, I want to get them doing something here, you know, so they won't get bored. And I made up this test. And I said, all right, I'm going to make up a test. I always did want to be the teacher when I was in school, you know, and get to be a slave driver and make everybody else do stuff. So I read off this test. And I said, all right, get your Bibles out. You have 5 minutes to study Ephesians 6. And so they all said, good night. And they all started reading Ephesians 6. And after 4 minutes, they found Ephesians 6 and had 1 minute study. No, that ain't true. They found it there real quick. They started studying. And I made them up this test. And I said, all right, how many verses are in Ephesians 6? That's 24. Who wrote the book of Ephesians? That's Paul. I started asking some questions and I asked them some hard ones. I think we had, what was it? Somebody, 15 questions? We had 15 questions, and the last one counted double, and you can make 150 if it's perfect. 10 points for each one, you know, and everything. And I said, all right, study. And I thought, well, I'm gonna let them have some fun, and I'm going to just put some Bible in their head and embarrass them if they don't know it, and maybe provoking them to want to get in there and study. Amen? And so I said, all right, what's this? What's that? And we had a lot of fun. We laughed, and we talked, and I said, all right, exchange papers. Boys, we'll see who's smarter in here, the boys or the girl. And we made them all change papers. And I read off their, and boy, they was embarrassed. They didn't really change all of them like they should. But anyway, we had a good time. And boy, I began to think about that. And I thought, you know something? That's the way we need to teach our kids. Teach the Bible. They're not going to just bring it up. You're going to have to teach them. You're going to have to teach them. Now, me personally, I have a very, very hard schedule to keep, and I travel a lot. And because of that, I don't have a lot of times at night with my kids. Now that's a dangerous situation to be in. That puts my kids in a dangerous situation. I appreciate you people praying for my kids. Somebody's bound to be praying a lot for my kids. Because God has just blessed them and taken care of them the way He has. And what I'll try to do is I'll say, when I'm with them, I want to try to put some Bible in them. Now, I don't know, you do it the way you want to. Why do I do? I've done this to Carrie when she was little. I'd lay her down at night, and she'd say, Daddy, tell me a story. I said, I'm going to tell you a Bible story, Carrie. And she'd say, good. And I'd say, now listen, if it's in the Bible, that means it's true. If it's Rumpelstiltskin or Cinderella or something like that, that didn't have, somebody just made that up. But if it's in the Bible, it's true. So she'd lay down there, and I'd be laying down there beside her. She'd be covered up, you know, looking. And I'd lay down beside her like this, and I'd say, one time, a long, 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 long time ago in the Bible. And that means it's true. There was this man. And this man was a preacher. And his name was Jonah. And one day God told Jonah, He said, Jonah, I want you to go down there and preach them old mean people down there. Jonah said, no. And by this time I was up off the bed. And I was up in the floor turning like this. And God said, go preach to them, Jonah. Jonah said, no, I don't want to. Jonah took off running this way. She's watching me run around the room, you know. I was running around. I stand up on things, you know. And I'm giant, I'm the Goliath, you know. Oh, I dare you. You ain't going to fight me, you bunch of chickens. Come on out here, boy. I'll knock your block off. And boy, I had David out here, the little boy, saying, oh, big boy, you better have a good insurance policy because I'm going to knock you out of the block. And boy, I had him. And sure, eyes get that big around. And I said, boy, this and that, you know. And I was knocking things over and I was throwing things. And I was jumping around the room. You know something? She never has forgot those stories. She's 16 years old now. Where's she at? I just had to do this last night for her. So she could go to... No, I'm just kidding. But I tell you what, they don't forget them stories. They don't forget that Word of God. Put that Word... You say, well, Brother Danny, I just can't run around and tell a story like you can. Well, but see, God gave you your kids. You do what you can do, but put that Word of God in them. You know what I'd do? We'd be going somewhere. I got Chris and Corey, and I say, all right, who can quote a Bible verse? Take turns. And they get their verses. All right, you quote one. Chris will learn a bunch at school. You know, that's fair. That's not fair. She learns them at school. And Corey don't. She said, I forgot what all she learned this year. Something like, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Corey, can you quote one? You? I say, well, what is it, honey? She said, you know, you can tell that Bible is the Word of God for that reason. Isn't that weird? What's the Bible verse, honey? She might say, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Yay! Yay! Woo! That's great! You want ice cream? I want to buy you a milkshake! Huh? You know what? Boy, if we just teach our kids that it's a great thing, you know what? We'd rather them learn them baseball cards than we had the Word of God. Ain't nothing wrong with having baseball cards. I don't care how many you got. But I'll tell you what, the Word of God is what we ought to be putting in their kids' minds and in their heart. Yes, sir. We ought to be putting the Word of God in their heart. You know something? You know what our kids want a lot of times? They want our attention. They want our attention. A lot of times I'll be trying to read, and I'll be reading like this. Corey will come up and she'll say, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Daddy, so what? Just a second, honey. What? Just a second, Daddy, Daddy. And finally, I'll just stop and say, "What, honey?" She'll say, "Look." She'll have a caterpillar or a moth or something like that. You know what they're wanting? They're wanting your attention. And I feel guilty sometimes when we shove them off. We say, "I ain't got time. I'm busy. Leave me alone right now, honey." But you let one of our Christian friends call or somebody else come. Boy, we suddenly drop it and make time for them. Listen, our kids are more important than that phone call. Our kids, you heard me tell about old Dr. Bill Rice. I said many years ago, he had story time on Saturday afternoon for his kids. And buddy, every Saturday evening, like at 4 o'clock, was his story time for his kids. He didn't let nothing or nobody. He treated that as important as a business appointment. He treated that as important as a job interview. And buddy, I mean, one day he was playing some kind of game where he was dressed up like some kind of troll or something. He had long hair and a beard and everything, you know. Maybe he was going to be a rock singer or something. But anyway, he come through the house, you know, and there's this real important preacher come to see him. And they come to the door and they said, "Sorry, the preacher can't see you right now. He's tied up." He said, "Oh, he's in some important meeting?" "Yes, he's in an important meeting. He's in the back room playing with his kids." And left the big shot sit in the living room and wait. And they come running through the house and he's on all fours with that beard and long hair, like a crazy person. And there said his big shot guest. He just waited and said, "How you doing? I'll be through here in a little bit." And runs on through the house with his kids. You know what? There's a man that realizes how important it is that we teach our children. Now, I don't get much time with my kids because of my schedule. They're at school today and I'm preaching every night. So a lot of times when we're just going down the road, nobody but me and them, nobody else around. Well, I'll say, "Let's sing. We'll sing a gospel song." Well, in the youth choir, see if they can learn the youth choir song. Put a gospel tape in. You can take advantage of hundreds of opportunities to get the Word of God in your child's heart if you'll just keep it on your mind. Amen? Keep it on your mind. Listen, when you lay down, when you rise up. It doesn't say when you rise up, flip the TV on. But when you rise up, begin to talk to them about the Lord and pray with them before they go to school or whatever. Now, let me say secondly this morning. This is kind of in number one. I want to talk about our responsibility of being an example before children. A child knows and despises hypocrisy. You can be a hypocrite in front of your other Christian friends and they'll never know it. But a child knows a hypocrite a mile away. They sit there wondering, "I wonder why mom and daddy says this and does this." You know, it's hard for a parent to say, "Kid, don't you do this," when the kid looks back and say, "Well, mama, you do it. Well, daddy, you do it. If you can do it, why can't I do it?" You say, "Well, I'm older and I'm not." They don't understand that. They think if it's all right for you to do, it's all right for them to. If you don't want your kid to drink, don't drink. If you don't want your kid to cuss, don't cuss. Some of you parents in here, you'll spank your kids for doing something and all they're doing is what they learned from you. Kids are imitators. They got a tape recorder in their head. You can teach them anything. You can program them anything. I remember when I was little, living down here at Clinchfield. I mean, I had to be five years old because I think we moved to Nebo when I was five or just turned six. So I had to be 4 or 5 years old. And I distinctly remember my daddy mowing the grass out there in Clinchfield Yard. And he'd take a curb and turn. And when daddy's foot would go down in the grass, it'd mash the grass down like that. And you could see his footprint. And I'd put my foot right where daddy's was, like that. And like that. Not like that. I'd look. When me and him go squirrel hunting, daddy used to take me squirrel hunting when I was real little. He had me a little old gun. Had me a little old 22 rifle about that big. Little old German rifle that you cocked, you know, with a bolt, just hold one 22 shell. And boy, I loved that thing. I'd sleep with it. I'd go to sleep hugging that gun like that. After I get to sleep, they'd come in there and pull it out, you know, so I wouldn't bust my mouth on it or something. I'd get mad because they'd take my gun away. But I tell you, brother, I remember stepping in daddy's footsteps in the woods. He'd leave a step. I'd step right in. He'd say, "You see that squirrel, son?" "Nope." I'm just looking down on the ground the whole time. And you know how little kid, you try to show him a squirrel and we're just, "Where?" You know, I catch you up. And all I'd ever get to do squirrel hunting is shake the bush. Because we'd go with a dog, you know. And the dog would tree the squirrel. Daddy'd say, "Go over there and shake that bush." And I'd go way over here, shake this bush, and water'd fall out, you know, and everything. He'd be on the other, that would scare the squirrel around the other side of the tree. He'd bow, boy, he'd bing that thing, and out on the ground it would go. But I said that to say this. Boys follow daddy's footsteps. Not just in around the yard, not just up in the woods, but in lifestyle, in habit, in manner of life. One time not long ago, I read a story, several years back, and this guy was sitting at a bar. It was on a real cold, snowy day. The man was sitting in a bar drinking himself drunk. And suddenly he felt something tug on him. He looked down at his little boy. And boy, he got mad. And he said, "Son, what are you doing in here? You have no business in here. You have no business in a place like this. How did you know where I was? Who told you how to get here?" And the little boy looked up and he said, "Daddy, I just followed your steps in the snow." I want to tell you something this morning, friend. Turn this thing up just a little bit, Brother Roy. You hear me this morning, you hear me well. Regardless of what comes out of your mouth, these kids are following your life and your example. Mother, the Bible said in Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Now, I made a statement several times before, and I'm getting ready to make it again. I want all the mamas to listen. Every girl will turn out just like her mother or worse unless God does a work in her heart. Let me say it again. Every girl will turn out just like her mother or worse unless God does a work in her heart. A mother shall look and see her daughter. Listen, the little old girls watch mama put their makeup on. They get in there, boy, and they'll try to put it on. Man, they'll rub that stuff all over them. You know why? They put on your dresses. They put on your high heels. They want to be like their mama. Now listen, some of you wouldn't dare teach them to go out without combing their hair. You wouldn't dare teach them to go out without any shoes on or go to school or slouchy or something like that. But what are you teaching them by your attitude? Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm telling you, brother, we need to understand that. Let me say thirdly this morning, right quickly, and I'll move on. We have a responsibility to discipline our children. We're living in a generation that has gone crazy. We're questioning all the old values. We're questioning all the old moral standards. And somehow or another, we have got the idea that it is cruel or brutal to discipline a child in any manner. As a matter of fact, if they have their way about it, they're going to pass laws that you are not allowed to corporally discipline your child at all. They make you feel like some kind of brutal maniac if you spank a child. Now I want to say this, and you listen to me, and I'm going to clear this up real good. That Bible, the Bible. Somebody said, ask the Christian not long ago. They say, "What do you think about corporal punishment, spanking kids?" "Well, I just don't think it would be used and all that." How far away from the Word of God have Christians got nowadays? The Bible authorizes, the Bible teaches all the way through that we're to spank children when they need a spanking. You say, "Well, I don't agree with that." You are wrong, buddy. And Dr. Spock and his philosophy has ruined our generation. Now listen, hey, let me ask you this. Did kids have more respect for parents and authority 100 years ago or now? Has Dr. Spock's theology worked? Philosophy? Dr. Spock ought to be spanked. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, "Train up a child the way he should go." The Bible said, "Thou beat a child with a rod, let not thy soul spare for his crime." I wouldn't doubt somebody don't have social work services down here to investigate me after I say that. But I want to tell you something. On the authority of that book right there, the Bible said to spank them with a rod, not your hand. Your hand is a symbol of love. See, mama's hand, tender, loving, mama's hand. Every time you raise your hand, kid ain't supposed to go like that. They ain't supposed to be scared of your hand. I mean, mom usually raise up, scratch your head, and the kids start going, "Oh, she's going to smack me." Seen people going down the road, a little old kid in the back seat, and they're just back there, smack. Every time you stop at a red light. Now, that ain't the way to do it. You know what the Bible says? The rod. You know what that is? That's a hickory switch. And what you do is you get one. Now, the way mom does it, she still does. Lays it on top of the refrigerator. How many of you mamas ever lay your hickory switch on top of the refrigerator? Now, why you lay it on the refrigerator? Because the little devils will get it and hide it somewhere. They'll break it into a million pieces. And that way, when you get ready to spike them, mate, you can't find it. And you'll cool off, you know. And you lay them things on top of the refrigerator. Now then, you say, all right, buddy. One more time, you're going to get it. And if he sees you going toward that refrigerator, see, it's not your hand he's fearing then. It's the rod. That rod represents chastisement, punishment. That represents the police. That represents the law of God. If a kid gets away with anything they want to get away with at home, they're going to try it at school. They're going to try it with the law. That's why the Bible said if you love your kid, you'll discipline your kid because you want him to stay out of jail when he's old and out of hell when he dies. I'm telling you something this morning. It's about time we employed biblical principles in raising our children. This jumping philosophy nowadays ain't doing the job. You know, we have a bunch of acting like a bunch of wild maniacs out there in Los Angeles this week. You say, oh, they were mad about the verdict. Well, some of them were, but half them people couldn't care less about Rodney King. They're using that as an excuse to vent their ungodliness to start with. Hey, brother, if the court up here does John wrong, whether they did or not, that's between them and God. If they do him wrong, that don't give me a reason to go out Sears and bust the windows out and get me a new TV and refrigerator. How's that going to help Rodney King? Now, you know what? Do you know why they do that? Because they know we'll get away with it. Nobody's going to stop us. We dare you to shoot us. We'll sue you. We'll take you to court. You know what happened? Our homes broke down many years ago. There's no discipline, no authority. They laugh at the police and laugh at the National Guard. They dare you to do anything to us. Brother, all that started in our homes in America. I guess some of you expected me to comment on that thing. But I'll show you what, brother. That shows you one thing. We're in a mess in this country. We're in a mess. I don't know the jury. I don't know if they done right or wrong. It looked bad. It looked wrong. Put it that way. But I'm not the judge. That's their business. I mean, that's between them and God. I don't know. I'm not taking sides one way or the other. I will tell you this. Just if a jury did do wrong, that don't give people no right to go out and shoot people and kill innocent bystanders. And that's just somebody using that for an excuse to get to do what they wanted to do all along and get away with it. Now, the kid's supposed to fear that rod. They're supposed to fear that rod. And I want to tell you something, brother. If they don't fear the rod, you've had it. You say, well, I try the new methods of... I spank my child and it don't work, so I make him go to bed without supper or miss his favorite TV program. Now, you can do what you want to, but that ain't Bible. Ain't Bible. You say, well, why come on and spank him? It don't work. Because something's wrong with the spanking. Kids are different. What works on one kid may not work on another kid. I mean, the amount of... Some kids get the message real quick. Hey, you don't do this. And others... You can have kill them. And boys, I think boys are worse than girls. Don't you? I think boys are worse than girls. Really, I do. I mean, I've heard a lot, all I got's girl, but I've had people tell me that little bunny, you can have beat their heads off. And they still ride on, ride on, ride on. And there are exceptions, I understand that. But listen. What you do is you get, have you ever... seen these kids that are out in the shopping center parking lots? A little bitty three-year-old brat. Here's mama trying to drag him through Walmart, you know, and he's just holding his hands like, ah! She's saying, come on, baby. Come on, please. Please, come on. Big old 200-pound woman. A 22-pound young'un. Her down saying, please, mommy, buy you something. Mommy, take you a store. Mom, oh, every time I walk by one like that. Makes you want to do like we did in school. Turn your high school ring around. Just go, bah, like that right there. You say, oh, you're cruel, preacher. No, listen, these people won't come to church on account of that. They say, well, I just can't come to church. I can't do nothing with them. Man, that's bad when a three-year-old runs a household. Something ain't right. Mom and daddy needs to get right with the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I never will forget that story Brother Ed McAbee told that time where that little boy, he was in the shoe store and his mom was trying to get him some shoes, and Buddy, he was running around like a, he's just like a little monkey. He was all over the thing, jumping around. Come here, honey. Come here, honey. Come here. Let the man measure your foot. Here stood the shoe clerk there. That little boy climbed all the way up on top of that ladder. Just sat there and grinned at him like that. She said, come on, baby. Let the man put your shoes on. He just grinned and went, no. Finally, that shoe clerk got mad, and he said, lady, you want me to get that little kid down for you? She said, yes, you can do anything for him. Go right ahead. Help yourself. Buddy, he climbed up that ladder, and he leaned over and whispered something in that little guy's ear. Come back down. Here come that little guy just down that ladder, just as nice. He went and sat down and stuck his foot out like a little gentleman. She said, what did you tell him? I can't believe it. He did what you said. He said, lady, I told him, he didn't get down off that ladder and stick his foot out there and let me measure it and behave and be beside his mama, that I was going to take my belt off and I was going to beat the daylights out of him. And he did it. He did it. Oh, that's cruel. Listen, the Bible said if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. That's better than going to the electric chair. It's better than going to prison. Well, these books nowadays, there are books on child psychology and what group does your child fit in, and they try to tell you a child was born on a certain month under a certain sign of the stars, that he's more assertive and that he's hyper. I don't ever remember any kid being hyper when I was growing up. They just started out the last few. That just come up the last few years. Now, I never heard nobody say that when I was little. Mom, they just get a rod and beat the hopper out of you. That's right. They do that, buddy. You straighten up. Now, I understand some kids are geared different. I understand it takes more for some and less. I understand some people, some kids do have a nervous problem and candy and sugar and coke and all that stuff does things to them. But we never had all these problems back 100 years ago when we just believed what the Bible said about disciplining children. Didn't have it. They wrote these books, you know. He has destructive trends. And it's part of his personality, and you should allow him to vent his frustrations. And that means let him break your windows out and do what he wants to. Give you the little poem, Junior bit the meter man. Junior kicked the cook. Junior's antisocial now, according to the book. Junior smashed the clock and lamp. Junior hacked the tree. Destructive trends are treated in chapters 2 and 3. Junior threw his milk at mom. Junior cried for more. Notes on self-assertiveness are found in chapter 4. Junior got in grandpa's room. Amen. That's right, brother. That's right. I'm going to tell you, that's what we need. These books, they've ruined us. They've ruined us. Now, I tell you, I've had people tell me, they said, buddy, my mom, your mom ever make you choose your own torture weapon? All right, young man, you go out there to that apple tree and break me off a switch. That's bad. That's bad. You ought not do a little old young'un like that. That's pitiful. How many ever had that done to you? Raise your hand. Had to go out. Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's awful. One woman got up there and said, all right, young man, you go out there and you break me a switch off that tree, and you get back in there, and I'm going to wire you out with it when you get in. And boy, he went out there and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed, stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. And finally come back in, and he was like this, and he's going. She said, all right, where's the switch at? And he said, I couldn't find the switch, but here's a wok you can throw at me. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That'd be hard to do then, wouldn't it? That just makes you go, oh, it's all right, honey, I'm sorry. But I will tell you what, brother, we better. The Bible said, let not thy soul spare for thy crying. Now, I know they give themselves away. They'll start screaming bloody murder before you even get to them. That's why the Bible said, let not thy soul spare for thy crying. All right, young man, I'm going to get you. Start thinking about, ah! You ain't even touched him yet. You know why they do that? Because they know if they cry, you stop. Now, the Bible said, don't let your soul cry for his spirit.
don't let your soul spare for his crying. I was thinking about the next word I was going to say. And the next line I was going to say is, God provided a nice little spot with padding on it. You won't break no bones, and you ain't going to kill them. And it's all right just to make it sting. Well, I used to have a teacher in school. They'd fire them if they did that nowadays. In school, the teacher would hold your hand like that and take a ruler. Buddy, I tell you what, you'd straighten up in, son. How many ever had that done to you in school? Our teenagers can't believe it when I tell them that the principal, buddy, he lifted us off the ground. I mean, I was in 11th grade. And they didn't call your mom and daddy to ask them, was it all right, neither. Buddy, I mean, he'd make us bend over like that. He had a stick about that long. He'd have a hole in it or something. I mean, he'd go, boom. I mean, you go, boom, like that. I mean, they just lift you up. I mean to tell you, brother, I mean, it hurt. And you'd go back and sit in your desk, it'd feel like 10,000 degrees on your rear end. That hurt, buddy. And they didn't call mama, that's because all right. Back in days, you hoped for the Lord, they didn't call mama, because if they did, you got nothing when you got home. And boy, this system we got nowadays, Lord have mercy. I don't see how these high school teachers make it. They must have a lot of grace. We have like 70,000 teachers assaulted a year in America now. The kids are taking over. It's against the law to put up the Ten Commandments in a public school. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Let me say one more, and I'll be through. I'll just give you the two and I'll hush. Loving children's number four. You got a responsibility to love them. Well, you say, preacher, I love my kids. No, I mean, work on it and really show them. The Bible said in the last days people will be without natural affection. Brother, we'd live to see that day. I mean, the wickedest woman in town 100 years ago, if she had a baby, if she was a prostitute, wild horses couldn't tear her away from her own child. Are you people listening to what I'm saying today? There used to be a natural affection built in a woman. You would not take her children away from her. No way! Under no circumstance she'd fight you till you killed her. We'll live to see the day when people, their minds are so perverted and their morals are so twisted that they can just throw their own kids away. They find them on doorsteps in trash cans. One woman delivered a baby in the back seat of a car not long ago. They was going down the road. She took her hose stockings off her. That baby wasn't even washed. Slid it down over that little unwashed baby's head. Choked it to death. Pulled over and threw it in a dumpster. And just kept on going down the road. The responsibility to love them. Last thing I'll say is we're going to stand at the judgment with our children. Parents with bloody hands. We thought it was more important to get that other car or build that nicer home than we did maybe to spend time with them. You know what a kid wants? They want your time, your love. We think we can buy them off. Well, I ain't got time to fool you this week, kid. Here's $20. Go to the movies. Have yourself some fun. Go to the video game. We think we can just throw them a little money and get them out of our hair for a while. Well, you're going to stand before God one day for the way you raised your children. I know we're living in a hectic society. You remember the Sunday mornings you stayed at home when you ought to have been on your way to the house of God? Your children ought not to have to even ask. Are you going to church on Sunday? If your children get up on Sunday and say, are we going to church today? There's something wrong in your home. They're supposed to know that Sunday's the Lord's day. Parents, mothers would rather their daughter be the head cheerleader at the high school than to be a Sunday school teacher in the house of God. They'd rather be on stage singing the devil's song than singing for the Lord Jesus Christ in the youth choir. We're going to answer one day. We're going to answer for our children. The Bible said about a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, her children rise up and call her blessed. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's talking, no one's moving around. We're going to take just a couple of minutes here before we let you go. There may be somebody in here. Say, Brother Danny, I want to be a better father, better mother. I want to spend time with my little boys, my little girl. And I'm going to just get down on my knees on the altar this morning. Now, I know you got the same problem that I got. Sometimes you don't know when to discipline, when to stop, when to let them go, when to put the clamps on them, how strict to be on them. And how, listen, there's some things you say, well, Brother Danny, should I let them go here? Should I let them do this? There's some things you're just going to have to get down and ask God about and ask Him to help you and try your best to make the right decision. We've got many coming already this morning. Maybe God's speaking to you as a parent. You say, I want to... Listen, you young Christians, sometimes you worry more about pleasing your brothers at church than you do the Lord with your kids. That's a terrible mistake. Don't do it, my friend. Don't do it. Dear God in heaven, I want to thank you for these that have come on the altar this morning and are coming. Lord, I pray that every one of us here will be better parents. You'd help us to take our responsibility more serious than we ever, ever, ever have before. God, have mercy on us, we ask. Help our kids turn out right, Lord. That one that may be straying, that one that may be fooling around with things they shouldn't be fooling around with. There's parents here this morning that are brokenhearted over a wayward child, and they're wondering, God, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? God, help them not to lose faith. Help them not to lose confidence and give up. Help them just to hang in there and be faithful, Lord. We know you're going to answer the prayers, and you're going to bring that kid back, and you're going to straighten it out. Dear Lord, give them that grace and faith to believe that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand and sing this morning. You might want to join these on the altar. If you do, you come right now. Come on right now while we sing. Come on right now.
Just as I
yes. Yes, yes. Do it. Do it this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. You can do it if you'll put God first. Let's sing one more verse. You can do it.
Just as I am and waiting now,
amen,
to read my soul upon dark cross.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated while these are praying. Say, all these 13 boys got saved this morning. Next morning, ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Amen. Brother David's over here. I guess you preached the message or whatever. And thank the Lord. And they dealt with each one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Go tell everybody you see this evening about that. That's a blessing. Thank God. Are all these boys coming on the bus? Which one are coming on? Okay, where you at, Brother Ronnie? Where's Ronnie at? See? He's out there? Well, hallelujah. Ain't that hey, lay your hand back up. See this up there? Lay your hand, boy. Amen. Lord, use him. Amen. Listen, there's somebody, everybody can get to come to the house of God.
Next Sunday's Mother's Day. See if you can get the whole family here. Come around and shake these boys' hand. Tell them you appreciate them getting right with the Lord this morning, giving their heart to Jesus. Okay? Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, be here tonight, 7 o'clock.